All right. Welcome to the program. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And as always, you are in a millennial free zone where we stick to facts and not fiction or feelings. So a couple of big things going on. First of all, did you vote? Did you go out and vote? Because, you know, I suspect a little bit of this for on the Republican side of the ticket, I imagine that a lot of people didn't go and vote. You know, Trump's got it in the bag. You know, the primary's over and all the down ballot stuff. You know, unless you're a really real big political wonk, you're not, you know, I mean, do you really, are you really following, you know, your congressional primary race? And of course, so my wife had this great idea that you know, that we should vote for Bernie, but it's not an, you know, I'm a registered Republican, so it's not, you can't for the, it's an open primary on the state stuff, but not for the presidential candidate. So, you're kind of stuck there. So, so we didn't do that. But the best part of it is, I don't know, how do you vote? Do you go in and vote? Do you do the whole ballot in the mail thing? I do the ballot in the mail thing, but I always procrastinate. And then I get to the point where I worry that if I send it in, it's not going to get counted in time or that something's going to get messed up in the mail. So I end up filling out the absentee ballot and then bringing it in. And Sherry will fill out hers and sign it over to me. So I end up delivering them. You know, you can do that. You can take your absentee ballot and take it to the ballot box on the day of the vote to your local precinct and, you know, drop it in. And then you get an I voted sticker. So yeah, there you go. So what happened was, that day I happened to have my dog with me, and I have a little 10-pound miniature dachshund, Lucy. She's 10, yes, and she knows the issues. She's very well versed in politics. You know, I talk to her. I do show prep with her. So anyway, so I'm carrying her into the voting precinct there. And I'm holding the two absentee ballots. And as I'm dropping them in, I go, so we've, you know, I'm pointing to the dog. I go, we both, these are our ballots. You know, we both voted. And isn't that what happens? I was born in Chicago. So you can take the boy out of Chicago. You can't take the Chicago out of the boy. They didn't even blink an eye. I mean, you'd think if you walk in someplace and admit to voter fraud, you know, they would do something about it. So anyway, got that out of the way. So Robbie, I'm finally reminding myself that I need to follow up with you on the Canadian dating thing. This was a few weeks back. Apparently there's this website where you can, if you're so terrified about a Trump presidency, you can begin planning your exit now. And the site will, what is it called again? What is it? People Match? Maple. Oh, Maple Match, like the leaf, you know, the Canadian maple leaf. Got it. So this website takes disenchanted, you know, Bernie voters and matches them up with, you know, single libs in Canada. And then the idea is that you meet up and then it's really easy. You get married and you can get your permanent residency card in Canada. And now, Robbie, you signed up. Any word on this yet? Nothing? So how typical is that, right? Some millennials go off and start this big thing. They get a bunch of press. They talk about it really loudly and nothing. Nobody's contacted you. You took all that time. You filled out your dating profile. You got your hopes up. You're ready to meet a nice Canadian liberal, a nice Trudeau fan. And that's it. Out the door. Well, did you know, if you need a backup to that, Robbie, I just saw this. There is now, yes, we have everything here in this country. There is a dating site now exclusively for Donald Trump supporters. That's right. TrumpSingles.com. And it was started by a lifelong Republican, David Goss, who's 35, and he's hanging out with his conservative friends in February, and he goes, you know, I mean, well, it all started, I guess, this is incredible. So his friend, the founder's friend, this guy named Goss, has this female pal of his, and she's a diehard Trump fan. And I guess she goes out on a date. On a date for, but I don't know how she met the guy, but not on Trump Singles. And that apparently was her big mistake, because she goes out to dinner and with a guy, and they just order their food. And I guess she tells her male date that she's a Trump supporter. And it turns out he's a Hillary Clinton fan. And next thing you know, as soon as she tells him that I support Trump, he stands up, walks away, leaves the restaurant, and leaves her with the check for both of them. It's classic, right? Classic millennial move there. Just walk out on the check. So, but have you ever had that happen to you, by the way? Have you ever been on a... Yeah, I remember one time years ago, Robbie, you know this girl. I got set up. You think when you get set up by your friends that they know you, right? Well, my friends, I think it must have been some kind of joke. They set me up with this girl. First of all, I knew she was an odd duck. So it was a breakfast date. You always know, that's always a low commitment event, right? The breakfast date. So I set up a breakfast date with her, and it gets a little warmer, and she unzips her jacket, and underneath it, she's got a Hillary shirt, you know, and this is like years ago, years and years ago. And I'm floored. I go, well, that, I mean, because my friends all knew I was conservative. I don't get it. So so I start teasing her, and I, you know, was making a lot of provocative comments, and that didn't go over very well. So yeah, so this Trump Singles thing, it's real. But here's something interesting about it. So the thing that we keep talking about on the show is our crazy Bernie fans. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, and maybe we'll get to it tomorrow on Sunday, because we'll be on at 6, so we'll talk about it a little bit more there. But you know, we've talked about the bumper stickers and how when you have a Bernie bumper sticker, your car's okay. You can throw that Bernie bumper sticker on your Tesla Model S, no problem. How many Trump stickers have you seen? Right? None, almost none. Remember, I still, that one that I talked about 2 weeks ago, that bumper sticker is still the only one that I have seen. And why is it? And I'm telling you, it's because these Bernie fans, the whole idea that the Trump fans are the ones that are crazy and destructive and that are vindictive and that are going to vandalize your property is absurd. Otherwise, Bernie fans and Hillary fans wouldn't put their stickers on cars. The reality is that the Trump fans are the ones that are terrified of their cars getting vandalized by Bernie and Hillary people, and especially the Bernie people. And, you know, it's funny because even the Hillary crowd is terrified of Bernie right now and his supporters. But this is what the founder here says about the Trump Singles thing. He goes, Trump is bastardized and demonized in the media, so I kind of keep that to myself. I'm a Trump supporter because people can have a violent reaction to it. And then this guy, you know, goes on, it's sometimes hard for me to meet new people. Yeah, because if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 20s, and Well, yeah, you're surrounded. Exactly. But the thing is, it is a violent reaction. If you support Trump, how many people do you actually tell that to? I mean, well, and conversely, I mean, if you're not a Trump supporter, how many people have come to you and told you they support Trump unabashedly? Not very many. So you're probably sitting there, you're scratching your head, and how is Trump winning all these primaries? Where are all these people? Guess what? They're around you. They're next to you. They're people you know. They might even be someone you're dating. Could happen. I mean, I think it is. It just goes to show you there are certain things you can't. It's the silence. Yeah, the Reagan had the silent majority, and here we have the silenced majority. You're right. It's exactly right. There's a dating expert here who gives some advice. Kim Samuels, a Hillary fan from L.A., says that establishing deal breakers early on in a relationship is important. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I wouldn't date a Bernie fan. No way. I'm not going to have a safe space in my own house. There's no way. Can you? I mean, yeah, that would end poorly. You know, the safe space stuff is starting earlier and earlier and earlier. Apparently in the sixth grade. Did you hear about this vegetarian kid, Robbie? Okay, so this sixth graders. So my son just graduated second grade. He's a third grader now. I don't know where time's going. So if you've got a sixth grader, we're talking, what, about 11, 12, maybe 13, 12 years old. So these 12-year-old kids are on the playground. It's lunchtime. And I guess they're eating lunch. And this one kid is eating meat. And the other kid is eating veggies. And the vegetarian declares that he's a vegetarian. Which, of course, yeah, it's like the vegan thing. You too much about it. You always hear, okay, so he declares, I'm a vegetarian. And this is classic. The meat-eating kid says to him, vegetarians are idiots. And that he tells the kid, you should eat meat because you'd be smarter and have bigger brains. Quote, unquote. Seems benign enough. I mean, kids say a lot worse to each other on the playground. Well, not for the school district in New Jersey, because it has been found by the New Jersey Education Board that it was okay to give this kid 5 detentions for saying this. They decided that the comments were harassment, intimidation, and bullying because they targeted a distinguishing characteristic under state law. If you think this is insane, you're right. It is. We gotta start uncoddling our kids early on. What do you do when your kid comes home and he's got hurt feelings? Stand up for yourself. Walk away. Deal with it. God. What are we doing? All right. Let's talk about this Trump thing. I've got an interesting take on this Latino judge. And I think you're probably going to disagree with me at first, but hear me out. Hear me out, please. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
This is Sweet James. I listen to Sam Nation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, we are. Robbie, what have you done? All right. So let's get into the meat of the show here, because I want to address this judge controversy and take it from the beginning and give you my take on it for what it's worth. So Trump University, there's a lawsuit on. And the lawsuit, I mean, there's credibility to the lawsuit. And it's not the end of the world for Trump it's not a big deal. And this is my honest take on it. What you have is you've got this business that was started by Trump. It was probably started, what it seems like to me, it was started by other people. What Trump does is he is engaged in licensing, okay? Licensing is where you've got a name and a brand, and you lend that name and a brand to different people that use it for profit and give you a cut of the profit. Okay? So when he has Trump wine and Trump steaks, he doesn't actually have a vineyard where he's growing wine, and he doesn't actually have a farm where he's raising cattle. There are people that are manufacturing the good, and then they slap a label on it and make a deal with Trump International, right? They make a deal with the company, and the company gets a cut of the proceeds, and there's probably some deal there where Trump has to promote it. And this is very common, right? You have celebrities with vodka, tequila, whatever. I don't follow this stuff. For me, as soon as you put a celebrity name on a good, I automatically discount that good. I look at a product based on what it does on its own. If it needs somebody pumping it up, I automatically assume that the product's crap, that it needs that celebrity endorsement to move off the shelf. So But it's a common practice. And Trump U is, to what I've read about it, it's no different. There's people running the thing, and they made a deal with Trump to put his name on it. And it's not a real university. It's courses on self-help, how to be a business guru in real estate and whatnot. There it is. And there are a lot of courses like this, a lot of classes. We are, I mean, we are a country of self-help people. We're into this. We buy self-help books. And yes, I mean, yes, most of it is a scam. So the lawsuit is the plaintiffs in this case are people who went, who paid money for the course and allege that there were certain promises made to them in the deal when it was, in the advertisements, and that they paid a lot of money for it. OK, and that they didn't get the benefit of the bargain. The elements of fraud that are relevant here are when you make a material promise that induces reliance. I don't want to get too lawyerly, but you basically promise somebody something like Trump is going to personally select the teachers who teach these courses. You make that promise. Now, if that person who's reading that promise goes, oh, yes, because Trump, because of that promise, because I understand that Trump is hand selecting these instructors, I am now going to plunk down $15,000 for the course. And if it turns out that that's total nonsense and Trump never selected, better yet, never even was going to, that the organization running these courses was just saying that, to get people to buy the course, it's fraud. And they should get their money back and damages and all that good stuff. And there it is. Problem solved. Now that's the plaintiff's view of the case. And I think they have a case. But the defense is that each one of these plaintiffs have filled out a questionnaire at the end where they're asked, are you satisfied? And the defense claims, Trump's people and his attorneys claim, they had a very generous return policy. So if you weren't happy and didn't like what you got at the end of it, you've got a return policy. They had a program that they would give routinely people all of their money back. And that's a good defense. It is. So like any case where there's, a one side and then another side of the story, now it's going to go to court and a jury is going to decide who's liable. And that's normal. It's normal. The problem is that this case isn't normal because Donald Trump's involved in it on an election year. It's not normal. It's not normal. And now Trump's making a lot of hay about this judge, and he's basically going, well, is that clip number three, Robbie? Let's roll that clip.
I'm building a wall. Okay, I'm building a wall. I am going to do very well with the Hispanics, the Mexicans.
So everybody. No Mexican judge could ever be involved in a case that involves you.
He's a member of a society where very pro Mexico, and that's fine. It's all fine.
But except that you're calling into question his heritage.
I think he should recuse himself.
Because he's
then
Latino.
You also say, does he know the lawyer on the other side? I mean, does he know the lawyer?
Well, okay, so then Trump kind of hedges it and says, he might have a bias because he knows the lawyer and all that. But the part that's putting Trump in the bubbling hot water is the first part of it. Now, from the beginning, though, this is what's been very. Let's talk about the argument both ways. So the anti-Trump argument here, and everybody's screaming about it. And the minute you hear everybody screaming one thing, you always want to put your antenna up because you always want to assume you've got to look at it and go, hey, is this really the true story? And what you get, and again, this is there's a great article in Red State that sums up the anti-Trump argument. And it says, you know, look, we don't know a lot about, I'm going to summarize it. We don't know a lot about this Gonzalo Curiel guy. We know he's born in the U.S. He's got Hispanic ancestry. I don't know. The author goes, I don't know if he's an impartial judge, but I have no reason to believe that he's not. Okay. But Trump's attack is overtly racist because, okay, can't be trusted because Trump's premises, and this is where it kind of goes awry, right? Curiel cannot be trusted. I'm quoting from the article from Red State. Curiel cannot be trusted to rule fairly on any case involving Trump or any of his companies solely on the basis of his Mexican heritage. All right. But that's not what Trump said. It's not. And Trump didn't say this is solely the issue, because he goes on and explains other reasons. And the reporter doesn't even want to. Do we know who was interviewing him there in that clip? The reporter doesn't even know who, doesn't even want to hear the second part of it, because the reporter wants to frame this as Trump is racist. He thinks the judge can't be impartial because the judge is Hispanic. And that's not exactly correct. And yes, but words matter. And I want to parse this out, because I don't think that it's a fine line argument. I think that it's, well, let's go on here. I'll explain it. So the crucial thing here is that Curiel is a member of this La Raza Lawyers of California group. And the Red State article talks about this, and he says, you know, what they're attempting to do is to associate Curiel with La Raza, the radical left wing and pro illegal immigrant group that has gained significant notoriety. It's both anti-American and open to fomenting violent pro immigrant protests. But then it goes on to couch that Curiel has no affiliation. Right? It's La Raza Lawyers of California, and they have disavowed any association with the national group. And then this is where it gets a little curious for me, right? As far as I can tell, they appear to be pretty garden variety special interest lawyers association. Every state has these chapters for Hispanic lawyers, Black lawyers, women lawyers, Mormon lawyers, whatever. But here's the first problem. La Raza, while they disavow any affiliation, this lawyers group, any affiliation with the national group, the National Council of La Raza, the La Raza lawyers do feature the La Raza group on their website. They do talk about them. They do have, and they are involved in promoting these Hispanic causes, which are linked to illegal immigrant groups. Okay. This is not a group that Trump is particularly cozy with. It promotes Mexican, immigration issues. So, let's be clear about this. There's a big difference between an attorney being a member of a group that promotes something like this, that has a special interest, and a judge. Because, listen, the judge is supposed to be impartial. The judge is supposed to be colorblind. And now imagine this. Imagine if you had a judge sitting on a criminal case, hearing a criminal matter, and instead of him being part of a La Raza Lawyers of California, what if he were on a, let's say, Prosecution Attorneys of California group? What if you just substituted that one word? Well, that wouldn't be right, would it? Because now you're biased for one side in the case. And so this is a problem, potentially. And it's very disingenuous for the media to report this strictly as a racist wackadoodle comment. So I want to talk, Do you know that there's a justice on the Supreme Court that said the same exact thing? There's a justice on the Supreme Court that said the same thing. But not in hot water. Are they? When I come back, let me tell you about that. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is Attorney James Bergener. I get the best news and information for the week from Sam Nation every weekend on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And, oh my goodness, can you imagine? Okay, so what would be probably the worst thing in the world if you are a young woman growing up, going through puberty, you know, your body begins to change. Oh, it's bad enough with all the normal stuff. Now imagine that on top of all the other changes, you begin to grow facial hair. Yes, you heard that. You heard that right. There's a woman her name is Rose Gale, and she is in Oregon now, and for about 20 plus years she had to shave every day. Now, I know there's a big thing right now with beards. Right, so you got all the hipsters and you got to have a nice full beard. And have you heard about these procedures? People are having beard transplants where they're having hair. Is it removed from their head and to fill out their beard? Because, you know, yeah, not everyone has a thick, bushy beard, a luscious, thick beard. Immediately thinking about our sponsor here, Sweet James, because he is the dense beard of justice and his beard is very thick. And so is producer Robbie's, as a matter of fact. But not every guy is as lucky, but not this poor, unfortunate woman, Rose Gale, because we got to put this up on the website, samnation.com. Robbie, have you seen? Well, I'll tell Missy, you haven't seen these pictures. Missy, would you classify that as a full beard? Would you? Yeah. Oh, my. yeah, the like hashtag OMG, right? Look at that. This poor lady. So, and this is, and you know what? So the news story talks about her, how she's just given up and she's embraced her bearded self, which is cool. She now feels sexy and sensuous and has grown out a full beard, and she actually feels more feminine. My favorite part of the story, I have to share this, is here's what she says. Growing my beard has made me more confident. I feel pretty with my beard, and I never felt pretty before. It feels amazing being me. So, Robbie, you've been clean shaven. You've had a full beard. Tell us right now, do you feel more pretty than before? Where? Yes. It's been confirmed. Do you also feel amazing? Does your beard make you feel amazing? Okay. Well, there it is. Listen. Dense beards, they're a thing. And imagine you're driving along the road, right? And the unthinkable happens. Smash! Big truck. I don't know. Some bearded hipster driving it. Smashes right into you. It's probably not a big truck, though. It's probably some kind of eco-friendly vehicle. Smashes into you. And there it is. You know, your car's a mess. You step out of your car, you run to the back end of it to look at the damage, and you're just hoping, right? You're hoping in your heart that your car's okay. But it's not. It's broken. And when finally your adrenaline kind of dies down, you start to feel the pain. And that feeling of not knowing what's wrong with you, but knowing that you don't feel the same as you did before is terrifying. Please. Don't even think about this. Don't call the insurance company. Don't fuss with anything. Make one call. Sweet James Bergner. Attorney James Bergner, he's the guy to call. He's the one who can handle everything for you. He's trustworthy, honest, and he really does care about these cases, and he'll care about yours. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And you can also visit sweetjames.com and get further instruction there. Absolutely the first call I would make. No question. Robbie, you too, right? Well, we were talking a little bit about this Judge Curiel. And if you haven't heard about this, this is the whole controversy with Trump making racist comments about the judge. And the way it's being framed is that the way it's being framed by the media is that Trump says the judge can't be impartial because he has Mexican heritage. And it's not, you know, the thing is, it's not even just being repeated by the media. It's being repeated by a lot of Republicans out there. And do we have, what is it? Clip number one for the Paul Ryan clip. So let me set this up. This is Paul Ryan. He's the Speaker of the House. So he is right now the number one elected Republican. He was, in a way, the leader of the Republican Party. Something that's important to note, though. Once Trump, and even as a presumptive nominee, now that Trump has, and we had an election on Tuesday, Trump now has more than locked up all the delegates needed. He doesn't have to just rely on the superdelegates. He's got enough pledged delegates, meaning he has enough delegates who are obligated to vote for him in the first round to become the nominee. So now Trump, no ifs, ands, or buts, he is the presumptive Republican nominee. You know that he, in fact, becomes the leader of the Republican Party. So now there's this little, like, back and forth. You got the guy who used to be the nominal head, the elected leader, and he's, well, he, let's play the tape. This is what he's saying. Paul Ryan.
I disavow these requirements. I regret those comments that he made. I don't think claiming a person can't do the job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment.
Okay. So there it is. Another Republican accepting the premise, not just the conclusion, but the premise of what is being shouted about in the media. And what I want to explain to you is this thinking right here is what is, this is why Republicans have been losing so many elections. This is why they're losing. And I'll get there. So just let's break this down. I talked to you about, you know, so the comment that was made, and I'll paraphrase it. We played a clip in the last segment, but the idea was Trump says the judge is biased against me because of his heritage and because he's a member of this La Raza Lawyers Association of San Diego. And the point that I made is, yeah, okay, so he's a member of La Raza, all right, Lawyers Association. This group is very pro-Mexico, does a lot of pro-illegal immigrant issues, is against, and this is key, is against building a wall, is against a closed border, is against a lot of things that Trump is doing, advocating. And don't poo-poo the timeline either. Hold on. That's important, too, because Trump was saying these things publicly a year ago. So this isn't just, he was even before he declared his candidacy. I know this case has been going on a while, but that's another fallacy. That's another misconstruction, because Trump, leading up to even announcing his candidacy, was making these comments, was advocating for tough border protection, tough border measures. Hey, look, Trump, you don't have to agree with him on this. This is not my point. But Trump has been steadfastly advocating the removal, right? He's a deportation guy. And you've got a judge who is sitting in judgment, is making crucial decisions on his case. And this judge is a member of an organization, of a lawyer's organization affiliated with La Raza. And one of their stated objectives is to support illegal undocumented immigrants from Mexico in the United States. Now, the argument that's being the anti-Trump, the pro-judge argument, the pro-racist pro-Trump is racist argument, is that the judge it can be part of this group. It can be part of this group. It makes no difference. It's not an issue. But can you really be a blind? Can justice really be blind when you've got? When you're part of an organization like this, it's one thing if he's part of that organization as an attorney, but it's a different thing when you're a judge. Well, the interesting thing is, we gotta remind you of this stuff. So you know Justice Sotomayor, Supreme Court justice nominated by none other than Barack Obama. This is a quote of hers, and I'm curious to hear what you think about this, Sotomayor. I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experiences would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. Okay, Paul Ryan, where was your criticism of this? Hey, you are a member of Congress while your colleagues in the Senate voted to confirm this clown. Say, I don't know of anything more patently racist than this. I mean, what happened to having, well, let's just, why couldn't we put in human into Latina woman? I hope that a wise human with the richness of her experiences would reach more often than not a better conclusion than, I don't know, another human who hasn't had the same richness of experience. Why not that? But well, you hear it all the time from the left. This is what is so patently dishonest and disingenuous about what they're saying. Because they're always arguing that somebody's a better judge or a better cop or a better teacher or a better professor because of the color of their skin or because of their heritage. I call BS! Okay, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation every weekend.
All right, back again, ending out an hour of power here on the Sam Nation program. Home for recovering millennials everywhere. We're not politically correct, we're just correct. And if you can't handle it, suck it. That's all I got to say. So here's what we've got. And this, you know, we're just talking about the whole La Raza thing and the whole... qualifying judges, qualifying teachers, police officers. Oh, we need we want to hire a minority police officer because they're going to bring a minority perspective. And what? I mean, libs make that argument all the time. They do. And so now Trump comes along and says, well, you know, I don't think I'm being dealt with fairly because I, as a white man, am being judged by this. Now, he doesn't say that, actually. He says, I, as a politician advocating for things like a closed border and deportation and building a wall, I'm not going to be judged fairly by a judge who is openly affiliated with a group that advocates open borders, for one. Advocates for illegal undocumented immigrants in the U.S. And that, okay, is a legitimate argument. You don't have to disagree with it. But you can't just call it racist and end the argument. That is exactly what this program stands firmly against. Yes, because this is what our national discourse has come down to. You yell racist. You yell homophobe, bigot. Conversation over. And what do you do? You're supposed to stand up and apologize, hang your head, and do the whole bit straight out of the Cultural Revolution in China. And we've talked about that before. You know, this is my dad would talk about this all. You know, growing up in Stalinist Czechoslovakia in the 1950s, you said something that you weren't supposed to against the regime. And next thing you were trotted off in front of the townspeople. You had to hang your head, apologize, kiss somebody's pinky ring, and then prostrate yourselves to the powers that be and then you were forever a marked person. You were compromised, and that was it, over and done. And that is what we do here, don't we? That's what Mitch McConnell wants them to do. I'm flabbergasted. If I have to see, you know, he's the leader of the Republicans in the Senate majority leader. He's the head of the Senate.
I wholly disavow these comments that Mr. Trump, I think our nominee has to get on message.
Did you hear that? The on message thing? Shut up! McConnell, you are the most irrelevant, overpaid person. You're probably more irrelevant than Harry Reid. Because here's the thing, you've bought in to the liberal myth that you end an argument by crying racism. Did you hear about that kid got the 6-month sentence? You know, I don't really want to get too much into this case, but there are a flurry of articles that all run with a similar theme. And one of them in the Huffington Post, let's not ignore the importance of Brock Turner's whiteness. And it goes all about how the white judge sentenced the white kid to only 6 months in jail. How is this excusable? And what Trump said is not. What kind of a world? This is upside down. You can't have it both ways. It can't go. But if we really want a colorblind society, and I believe in that as a goal with my whole heart, you've got to get rid of race, cultural heritage, and as factors in how you view people. But it goes. But it has to go both ways. The left wants their cake and eat it too. They don't. They want to be able to cry racism in an offensive move, and then use racism in defensively. It's just not right, and it's a cheap trick. And the thing is people are seeing through it, including Hispanics. In my stack of stuff, I have hot off the presses. Opinion. Big data reports Latino support for Trump on the rise at 37%. Okay. And think of all the Latinos that don't want to go on the record as supporting Trump. Like I always talk about, I got a friend who's a business owner. He is an immigrant. Okay. Successful guy. He doesn't advertise it, but he's full in for Trump, quote unquote, full in. Because he knows all this stuff is nonsense. And of course, the powers that be, the political bigwigs, are just sitting there scratching their heads. I mean, who would think that Trump is going to survive common slide? How many times have you watched television? Seen something, you know, Trump says something, you know, this is off the cuff. And then the flurry of reporting begins. This is it. This is over. There's no way. He's just ended it. He's just completely disqualified himself. And that's Hillary's narrative, isn't it? Hillary's narrative right now is that Trump is unfit. He's not presidential. He's unfit for office. And you can keep saying something, but if it's not resonating with people, it's not going to get traction. The other narrative that I have to warn you about is this whole vote, this whole number of votes. And I saw this talking head. Well, it was actually a Democratic congressman. A congressman who is one of the spokespeople for the Clinton campaign. I can't remember his name, but I'm watching TV one morning and there he is. And he's talking all about, well, you know, Hillary just blew. I mean, Hillary got more popular votes in the primary than Trump. More popular votes. She's I mean, this Trump, you know, he may have won this Republican skirmish, but he's a wounded, bleeding, he's a wounded, bleeding animal. Well, you want to know the math? It's interesting. So Trump's popular vote, I think it's somewhere around a little more than 13 million, just over 13 million. And Hillary's numbers, interestingly enough, they are higher. They're 15, almost 16 million. Okay. But I got two things to say. Trump was one of 16 candidates that ran. So think about how that dilutes the vote. I mean, Hillary ran against two guys in the beginning, one of whom dropped out almost immediately. So then she's running just her against Bernie. And so she received, but this is what's crazy, she's received 1.5 million fewer votes in 2016 than she did last time around. So she ran against Barack Obama, lost to Barack Obama, but still got more popular votes back then. Meaning if you add up all the votes everywhere. So I'm telling you, I think this is an interesting thing. It comes down to everyone that's telling you that Trump is dead in the water, that he has no chance, no hope, no prayer. Those are the same people that are still bewildered by the fact that he somehow managed to get where he is. And the key most important thing to this is that Hillary and Trump, yes, while they both have high negatives, Hillary does not have a following. There's no movement behind her. Nobody's excited about Hillary. Look at her rallies. There's no fire there. And while Trump has similar negatives, he has a powerful fan base. And that energy, I'm telling you, that energy, that is who turns up to vote. The election, and you saw this in California, you saw this what happened here on Tuesday. Bernie Sanders people, it was neck and neck. The polls were neck and neck. But guess who didn't show up to vote? A lot of Democrats, because they're just not excited about it. And what's more, you've got the Bernie people who are excited, but they're all a bunch of nincompoop young millennials that can't even get out of bed in time. You know, polls close at 8. They probably can't even find their polling place. You know, there's not an app for it on your iPhone, so you can't find the... Really? I'm so glad that voting involves a certain amount of selection, right? You've got to be smart enough to find your polling place. So what happened? I mean, Hillary took it away in California. It wasn't close. And what's going to happen when you've got a candidate who's doing worse, who's performing worse now than she was 8 years ago against a candidate that is blowing it out of the water at every turn? You heard Bill Clinton on the Late Show? Was that where he was on Thursday? And he's talking about how excited he is that Trump is the nominee, that Trump's the guy to beat. It's nonsense. It's just total nonsense. And you know, we talked a lot about the Trump University thing. It was like I was explaining in the first segment. If you didn't catch it, download the podcast on samnation.com because really, at the end of the day, the Trump University thing doesn't matter. And I'm going to say something that is extra outrageous. The Trump University thing, it's a business deal. It comes down to that. He can win it. He can lose it. It's not the end of the world. But what it did for Trump is it gave him an opportunity to once again insert a knife into the heart of this political correctness debate, into this discourse on, you know, what's acceptable to say, what arguments are acceptable to say. And while the outrage against him and everybody's saying, oh, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is racist, oh, you disavow. He did it again. He made himself controversial on a point that is resonating with more people than you would imagine. So visit us, samnation.com. We've got our Instagram on there, our Twitter, everything. Just get connected. And look, we're gonna correct the narrative on a few things tomorrow. We're gonna talk about Hillary, and talk about, of course, we're gonna talk about some good, excellent millennial stuff. What's going on at UCI? Tune in 6 p.m. Sunday evening here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. See you tomorrow.